911. What's your emergency?
They kidnapped my son.
What would you do if your child disappeared and someone you trusted was responsible?
We thought he cared for McKay, when in fact, he didn't care for anyone.
Listen to Ransom now at ransompodcast.com.
Get his freaking auto!
This is Brock and Saul.
Brock Huard and Marcus. Sorry about just Mike.
On Seattle Sports.
You were not exactly Joe Cap there in the pocket.
Presented by Simply Seattle.
Now here are your hosts, Brock Huard and Mike Saul.
What do you guys see G sunglasses he's going to come in here with in about 30 minutes? I just tried them on. Did they look good on me, Justin? No.
Yes.
No.
I think you should just go ahead and take that risk and just see if G will let you take him for the weekend.
I already have G's hoodie that he gave me with the skulls, and so I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how much more G clothing I can take before I become like a G Scott consignment
shop. For anybody
shop.
Watching on the video stream right now, G is standing literally right in front of the camera that looks at me, so these glasses right. are front
the side
and
view.
Center.
Yeah. The side view is really
what I want. There's a zebra on the loose.
That zebra's not going to be on the loose for too much longer. That thing is in some trouble. All right, G will be in 30 minutes. He's going to have to wait his turn. I got some Mike McDonald sound for you, Brock. So he met with the media yesterday, and a couple things kind of jumped out to me, and I thought I would play them for you. Let me start with this one. This is Mike McDonald, I think, sort of adjusting to what the world is like as the head coach, a position he's never really been in before.
Of course it's new. And when you're getting ready for the process, you're getting, you know, there's a lot of advice that you're asking folks, and some of the most sage advice that I got was, hey, every interaction you're going to have throughout the building is probably going to be the most meaningful interaction for like that person. You know, like they'll, you know, if it's an intern or whatever, they're going to go back to their wife or whatever and say, hey, like, I hung out with the head coach for a while today. Like,
yeah,
you know, that's a big, you know, so you want to be intentional with your words and make sure that, you know, you're being uplifting and empowering and, you know, and reinforcing the values that you know, that you're saying. So you're backing on, you know, you're walking the walk and talking the talk at the same time.
Mm-hmm. So if you're Nick Saban and you tell supposedly a great myth when you were at the Dolphins that has lived on for 30 years of you don't talk to the coach unless he talks to you first,
mm-hmm.
you know, I mean, just kind of have that kind of power tripping or you know, only the coach can ride the elevator by himself. And you got like those things stick with people, those things. And yeah, it is a daily deal. And I remember one time, Salk, I got like an email or, this was before social media back in the day, and like, or maybe even a letter. Like, I couldn't believe how rude you were. You didn't sign an autograph. You walked by us. I'm like,
that must have really bothered you, too.
It did.
I know.
It did bother
me.
I don't, when did I do, really? I don't remember doing something like that. But yeah, you're kind of judged for every action, sometimes unfairly, and you're never going to live up to, you know, perfect integrity, perfect expectations, because we're all failed. But yeah, you are under the microscope and certainly in the limelight much more than he ever has been in his entire life. Probably closest as D coordinator at Michigan, to be honest with you, right? And that's no shot at being a D coordinator for the Baltimore Ravens, but you're more insulated in the NFL, right? You are much more in that building. You're just kind of grinding. Michigan, like, you're out and about, and it's generational. And there's, you know, hundreds of years of Michigan's fans that, you know, are going to look at you. And every time you're out, if you ever do go out, people are going to notice you, maybe even a little more in Ann Arbor than they did in Baltimore.
That's good advice that he got there, to be honest with you. And I'm sure that'll be an adjustment. When I first took over managing for the first time in my life, the Silver Fox, who was our boss at the time, gave me one piece of advice to manage people. You know what he said? And if you know anything about Mr. Pridemore, you know what it was. He said, watch Patton. Anything you ever need to know about managing people, you can learn from watching the movie Patton. I'm like, what? So I watched it on the flight to Seattle. I watched Patton.
Yep. And then you walked around with your chest out, shoulders back.
Right? Yeah, I got a little Patton.
The thought of losing is hateful to America.
I got so much Patton in here.
Americans love a winner.
Yes.
And will not tolerate a loser.
Yes.
Americans play to win all the time. I wouldn't give a hoot in hell for a man who lost and laughed. That's why Americans have never lost and will never lose a war.
Oh, man, General Patton's the best. You know my favorite Patton story, right?
No.
I love this. I've read a whole book on Patton, and there's a ton of great stories about him. But the best story about Patton is when he goes to World War I and he gets promoted at some point to colonel, I believe, for the first time. Mm. And he writes his wife, and he's telling her all about it, and he says, in spite of my increased rank, I will still love you. It's like, what? So he comes home from the war, and he's like, oh, I'm staying in, man. This is great. I love it, the whole thing. He gets assigned to Hawaii. And so he says to his wife, I'm going to sail to Hawaii. And she's like, all right, but you don't know how to sail. And he's like, I'm going to learn how to sail. And she's like, okay. So he takes like a crash course in sailing. And she's like, all right, well, I'm not going to let you die on the ocean by yourself. So she signs on to his ship as the cook. Wow. And so the two of them with a small crew sailed to Hawaii, where he was then, you know, stationed for however many years between the two wars.
That's right. Mm.
There are a million great stories about Patton.
And
seriously.
You see how he talks like Patton, Justin?
Yeah.
When he was like in management, him. That's exactly just how he like talks him. In the building.
Yeah. Chewing on a cigar.
Like, yeah. Yes. All right. 7-10, never loses. Ever. Yeah, that's me.
You all don't right. go to break on time? You're fired. Yes.
Yep.
It's really
just how things were around here. Yep. All right, you want one more? Yes. He was asked what his rookies will be going through at minicamp this weekend.
Yeah, it's an intro to the philosophy and who we are culture-wise. A good opportunity for them to be by themselves, like without the vets, you know, to kind of hear it for the first time. Scheme-wise, we'll keep it pretty simple, just to let them go out there and try to go play. But we're going to have, you know, proper practices and go out there and get some good work in, be, you know, do it the right way and stay off the ground and stuff. But that's a little bit of a learning curve, like learning how to practice like a pro and things like that. But it's a great opportunity for them to do that before, you know, the vets are here and we're doing it for real in OTA. So it'll be a lot of fun.
You know, it was an interesting transition, Salk, from Puyallup High School to Washington. I had huge advantage. My dad ran a lot of the same stuff. Practice was organized in much the same way. The high school became, in some ways, a pipeline with Billy Joe and Kralik and Tom Gallagher, and a lot of players had gone. So it didn't feel, yes, it was bigger and faster and stronger, but it didn't feel like this outrageous jump, probably like AA to AAA. But man, that jump from college to my first mini camp practice, and we didn't have rookie mini camp, right? We were all new. We had the whole combine where I took my shirt off like a freaking idiot and got fined a lot of money because it was ridiculous and Kitten has set me up for failure. I'm still mad at him about that. But I remember thinking, this is unbelievably hard. Like, this is so fast. I don't know how you could possibly do this. Like, it was such, and very similar to AAA to the Major League Baseball, certainly for hitters. Like, it is such a massive, massive jump. So good that they'll get the opportunity to hit the ground running as rookies. And even then, I bet those rookies would be like, man, this is so much better than college. Holy cow. Like, you got to perform. Like, you got to catch everything. You got to run every route. You got to do every last little detail the right way, because pro football ain't no college football.
That's for sure.
I want you to remember.
Yeah, you can make a slogan out of that.
That no bastard ever won a war by dying for his country. He won it by making the other poor dumb bastard die for his country.
God. What's better than Patton, man? Seriously, he's the best.
Man, all this stuff you've heard about America not wanting to fight, wanting to stay out of the war, is a lot of horse dung. Americans traditionally love to fight. All real Americans love the sting of battle.
All right. The
That's
sting
all
of
from
battle.
The movie, right?
That's all from the movie. Yeah, those aren't
actually. Do we actually have sound of him?
I don't know if I have any like actual that? Sound of General Patton, just from the movie, right. George C. Scott portraying him. So, but I think the portrayal was pretty accurate.
So good.
It was pretty accurate. All right. We will love to battle with G. Scott as he comes in here in about 20 minutes, right after Everything You Need to Know next. I'm Brock and Salk.
Cantor Diamond, greater service, greater diamond options, and greater savings. Meet us in our professional private Tacoma showroom by appointment only. CantorDiamond.com or globally by phone, email, or Instagram at K-A-N-T-O-R Diamond. Cantor Diamond, truly the best diamond prices.
You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at QuantumFiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Massive. The Power of Pop Culture is Seattle's Museum of Pop Culture's newest exhibition featuring iconic artifacts from Batman, Star Wars, Barbie, and more. All throughout May, Washington residents receive special discounts on tickets and memberships. Tickets at mopop.org/maycation.
If you haven't been getting the white glove treatment, you deserve better. I'm Tia from Tycor Title, and we'll give you top-tier service, a smooth process, and consistent results every time. So trust Tycor Title with your next real estate transaction. Go to mytycor.com.
Spring is here, and now is a great time to visit the incredible new showroom at Toyota of Kirkland. Right now, Toyota of Kirkland has over 400 new Toyotas in stock and on the way, including Camrys, RAV4s, Tacomas, Highlanders, 4Runners, and Tundras. Test drive one today and drive it home immediately. Let the team at Toyota of Kirkland take the hassle out of the car buying experience. Toyota of Kirkland will exceed your expectations in every way. Visit them today or shop online at toyotaofkirkland.com.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Brock and Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
I'm very much looking forward to this weekend series. I know the Astros are not atop the division. In fact, they are right at the bottom of it today. But they are still a measuring stick in so many different ways. And, you know, the Mariners had a lot of success in that building last year. Won 6 of the 7 games there. Would love to see them carry that into this season as well. John Morosi joining Wyman and Bob yesterday, as he does every week. Pretty impressed with what they've done so far.
Oh, they are. And I think the numbers back that up. Whether you're looking at the playoff odds on Fangraphs.com or Baseball Reference. And again, this is the numerical underpinning of things, but I think it's useful to reference it. I just checked the odds today. Fangraphs.com has them with the best odds of making the playoffs of any AL West team. So when I was watching this team beat the Braves 2 out of 3 this week, and I said, this is the team to beat in the division. And it's not just a hot take. That's what the numbers say, that they're the team to beat in the division.
Mm-hmm. Certainly the pitching numbers are extraordinary, and we know how pitching can carry teams, Salk, through offensive slumps, through different challenges over the course of a marathon 162. And speaking once again, it's kind of like the Texas series, right? When the Mariners went down there and took 2 or 3 from the Rangers, this is just a clash of styles. You pitch, they hit. They got 7 different hitters right now with an OPS. Let's see, an OPS above 747. Hmm. Obviously, we've got one everyday player doing that in Josh Rojas, of course. The Mariners have 3 starting pitchers with a WHIP below 1.1. They've got one dude, and he happens to go tonight. So it is a clash of styles in a very hitter-friendly stadium with those ridiculous Crawford boxes.
Interesting to know with those two clashes of styles what the difference is in terms of record, right? So it doesn't mean that that's a be-all, end-all go with pitching over hitting, but for two teams that have been exactly the opposite of each other, the team with the pitching is having a whole lot more success in winning games this year than the hitters have on the other side. Kirby, Gilbert, and Miller for the Mariners. Blanco, Valdez, and Brown for the Astros. Houston wins yesterday over Cleveland. Rangers shut out the Nationals. Mariners, of course, were off.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Fun getting to know some of the new Seahawks. Byron Murphy has, I like him, man. I'm liking this pick more and more. Not that I didn't like it at the beginning, but just kind of thinking about how disruptive a defensive tackle like him can be and what that does to an opponent's game plan. I just like it.
You don't think Jaron ever got to that? We were talking about this earlier. He had a double-digit sack season.
Yeah, I would say that one year he was kind of, and they were really good that year defensively, right? That was one of the better defenses they've had in the post-Legion of Boom era. So, yeah, when you've got a defensive tackle who's truly disruptive, who gets into your backfield and drives you crazy, it changes the game. He was asked about the height issues, right? He's not as long as he's supposed to be.
It came up, but, you know, I ain't worrying about that. You know, I believe in heart over height. And also, too, you know, that don't matter when you're on the field, you know. That don't matter at all. I'll let go out the window. It's either you're a dog or you're not.
What?
It's either you're a dog or you're not.
You know what I need to? I'd rather see that than hear that.
Oh, jeez.
So I'll be the judge of that. I need to see it rather than hear it. Saw a lot of disruption, obviously, over the years and why he was such a sought-after guy in this draft and the lone defensive tackle in it. Yeah, the Seahawks have had a few guys, so I'll think about it through the years. Colin Cole, not a tall guy.
Nope.
Early in their tenure, the name that's Pete always confused
McDaniel.
McDaniel.
No.
No, McDaniel was a real
Tony
tall
McDaniel
one.
Tony McDaniel was Williams. Super tall. Clinton yes. McDonald.
There you go.
Thank you.
Yeah, little Clinton McDonald, little Colin Cole, but then just legs for days. Mm-hmm. Absolute engine of power that those guys did not have. But from a body type, you've seen some of them. And I'll be kind of curious too, man. This is a system like a blow and go. Let's go. Get that upfield. Be disruptive. We'll just go blow up those ghosts and make things happen.
As long as there are a lot of ghosts being blown up, I'll certainly be happy.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Geno Smith is the starting quarterback for the Seahawks, right? He's gotten paid. The team opted to pick up his option this season. They traded for Sam Howell, though, who does have significant starting experience. Might have been highly thought of had he been in this latest draft. So Geno's the starter, right? Right? He's the starter.
Well, he's been the tip of the spear, according to the head coach.
He has been, and yet I just can't shake this Jim Nagy quote as Jim came on with us yesterday and said this.
Yeah, it's a cool thing to stash him away, and I really hope they open it up. I hope it's an open competition, similar to like when they had Russell and Matt Flynn. I think Sam's the starting quarterback in the league. I'd just love to see him with a better supporting cast.
I think that's happening. I mean, we talked about
a better supporting cast. Oh, it's definitely a better supporting cast.
Do we think that there will be more of an open competition?
I think, honestly, one advantage to it is they have a very similar skill set. It would be, I think, harder to do some of those, what I talked about earlier, 60-40, mm-hmm. if it was like, okay, now we got to have, you know, Lamar's skill set versus Peyton's right. skill set. Like, no, both these guys are athletic. They're very similar in that way. They can both extend plays. Sam's a little younger, a little stronger, but we saw the numbers with Geno, and we've seen Geno be active with his legs and athleticism. Both throw a beautiful deep ball. Both of them throw a really tight spiral. You know, it comes out really clean. So, you know, there's a similarity, I think, in their game that quite honestly lends itself to a competition, you know, that makes that a little bit easier rather than, well, we got to play to this guy's strengths and we got to play to that guy's strengths and we got to manipulate it here. No, you don't. Nope. Nope. They can run the exact same set of plays in that 10 play script. Just give Geno 7 of them and give Sam 3 of them. Just give Geno 6 of them, give Sam 4 of them. Right. And then, you know, let it tell. Let the locker room tell. Let it breathe. And that locker room is going to tell you. Those players are going to tell you. Tyler, DK, they're going to tell you, like, yeah, man, this is Geno's team. Like, he's just, you know, he's a different level. 12 years of experience and all the relationship he has with all of us that Sam's going to be chasing to play a little catch up.
All right. There you go. That is everything you need to know. We do a quarter past every hour here on the Brock and Salk show.
You know what fired me up today, Salk?
Playing the
it
Astros.
It fires me up every time. Oh, playing the Astros. Can't stand those guys. No, hearing from Ian, hearing from my doppelganger, Brock.
Yeah.
Great guy in Seattle, right? Here, just hearing from our callers earlier today. I don't know, man. There's just always something about it that I just.
It is fun.
It is fun.
It's always been fun. I think it's always been a staple of this show.
You know, I've got a little. You're going to be out. Maybe I.
Next week?
And just this, you know, that top five callers. I just love the top five callers. Justin, do you know that I used to have a board in there, a big whiteboard with the top five callers? I
totally believe that.
And do you know how competitive that sucker got and how they got after each other? And Salk didn't like it, of course. Look at him shaking his head. We're never doing that again. Never doing that again. Great idea, Brock, but you're an idiot. Nope, I am Patton, and we are never doing that again. You stupid. Yeah, go ahead. Talk to me in your Patton voice. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Brock.
Yeah.
Seattleites don't like phone calls. You may think that they do, but they don't. Seattleites like to hear from the hosts. Specifically, a guy waltzes over here from the other side of the street, G. Scott. And he comes on, and he tells us whatever's on his mind. He compares himself to your relationship at home, even though he doesn't have a clue what's going on in your house. He'll be in next. I'm Brock and Salk.
Cantor Diamond is the only professional office for diamonds and diamond jewelry. Meet us in our professional Tacoma offices by appointment or globally by phone, email, Instagram, at K-A-N-T-O-R Diamond. Truly the best diamond prices, bestdiamondprice.com.
You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Real estate transactions can feel intimidating, but at Tycor Title, we make it feel more like a visit to your favorite coffee shop. Seamless, satisfying, and efficient every time. Trust Tycor Title with your next real estate transaction. Go to mytycor.com.
The Museum of Pop Culture, Seattle's destination museum for music, film, fashion, and gaming, has savings just for Washington residents in May. See MoPop's newest exhibition, Massive, The Power of Pop Culture. Tickets at mopop.org/maycation.
Spring is here, and now is a great time to visit the incredible new showroom at Toyota of Kirkland. Right now, Toyota of Kirkland has over 400 new Toyotas in stock and on the way, including Camrys, RAV4s, Tacomas, Highlanders, 4Runners, and Tundras. Test drive one today and drive it home immediately. Let the team at Toyota of Kirkland take the hassle out of the car buying experience. Toyota of Kirkland will exceed your expectations in every way. Visit them today or shop online at toyotaofkirkland.com.
This is Brock and Salk.
Back in mornings from 6 to 10.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
You got to give the people time. Give the people what they want.
Must be that time to give the people what they've been clamoring for the last week. And that is G. Scott, who's in the building. And he comes across to join us every Friday at 8:30.
I always feel like I got to put my seatbelt on about this time.
Just start. Strap in, Justin.
Okay.
Here we go.
First of all, good morning to everybody. It's always good. My main man, Brock, is on the show. You know, Brock called me up a couple days ago, and he led off with, "Hey, G, I just want you to know that our relationship, you know, it's been getting better." So, to which I said, "Yeah, he did.
Oh yeah, it's grown a lot.
It has.
Look how far.
True.
I mean, it's like it's basically Russia and America with Drago and Stallone.
Yeah.
I mean, if we can come together."
And yous could come together.
Yes.
If yous could change.
And eyes could change. And we could change.
Okay.
Yep. So, yeah, pretty much. Uh-huh.
So anyways, I thought this would be a great
Salk
time.
Salk is cringing. Why are you cringing?
I'm trying desperately not to make a joke that I shouldn't make.
Okay, good. Don't
I know. He's always got HR on his mind.
It's not an HR joke.
So.
It's not the problem.
So I want to get this out here in front of everyone and just tell everybody what happened. The pandemic got us, right? It rocked us. And, you know, I stopped following Brock on Twitter and all that kind of stuff.
Did you really?
Yeah. So, Brock, I say today, you know, we should come together, you know what I'm saying? East versus West, you know what I'm saying? Both cultures, you know what I mean? Yeah. Come back together. I'm going to start following you back again on Twitter. You feel me?
I'll unmute you.
Yeah. Wow. Right? You know what I'm saying?
What a morning.
If I can change.
Yes.
Я думаю, что каждый должен измениться. And you can change.
Yes.
Вы можете измениться. Everybody can change.
I was in Russia. Sorry, Maren.
We're gonna get to football here in a second because, of course, today I'm gonna be running over there to rookie camp. I have my thoughts of what I'm gonna be looking for, what I'm gonna be watching, all that kind of good stuff. But I did say on X, you know, the place formerly known as Twitter.
Before you get to your story,
what?
Congratulations to you guys. That's awesome. That makes me incredibly happy.
What?
That you guys are kind of, you know, friends again. That's nice. And I'm glad you're going to follow each other. I'm glad you're going to unmute each other.
You're the reason why, too.
I'm glad to have helped in any small way bring the two of you back together. Mm-hmm. And because I love when you guys get along. You guys are both entertaining. You're both big parts of my life. Yeah. And that makes me happy. Nice job.
I just followed him right now.
Oh, look at that.
Just followed you right now. Yeah. Now, if we can get Richard Sherman a part of this,
and he can all come together, and we can all
start following Kumbaya, all that stuff, right?
You think that's going to happen?
Hell no.
Kumbaya.
All right, what is your story? I'm sorry, what is your story?
Before we get to that, I was thinking about you this morning, and I got to tell you, and it has to do with, by the way, this is going to segue into rookies and segue into what we expect out of rookies. When I first started working here, as you guys know, you guys heard the whole General Patton and all that stuff that Salk is a manager.
You're
now,
right.
I tell you guys all the time, Salk, was he a good manager? Subjective. However, one of the things, one time, it was like 2015, and I wasn't good on the air. Still not good on the air now, but I really wasn't good this particular day. And, you know, I had problems going on at home. It was the ex that I was with during that time. Mm. And I'll never forget this. And I hated Mike Salk for this. Mike Salk's like, "Hey, man, look, I'm sorry you got stuff going on at home, but when you turn the microphone on, nobody cares. Like, nobody cares. I says, I'm sorry that you got that going on, but I just want to let you know that when you get on the air, like, it's showtime. Like, when people turn on the radio, they don't care what's going on in your personal life. They don't care about all these things. And I thought to myself, self, this dude is a weirdo. This dude has no compassion, no sympathy or anything. Even though I hated you for that, that's probably some of the best advice that I've ever gotten in this profession.
It's amazing how many things you hated me for that turned out to be great advice. Does it tell you that maybe you should be more open-minded to hearing what people say to you?
No.
Okay, good. No. As long as that's not the case.
No, I'm able to filter some of the stuff out. But
you know what's funny about that piece of advice? It had been given to me years earlier, and I was just passing it along to you.
Same to me.
When it was given to me, in no way did I think the person who gave it to me was a jerk. I was just like, oh, that's a really good point. It's entertainment.
My thought was like, oh, you've been doing this for 20 years. There's probably a reason that you've been doing this for 20 years.
Jeez, man, I hate the person who's trying to help me. That's really nice. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
You were a joy to manage, buddy. Let me tell you. So fun. So fun to manage. I probably gave that same advice to 10 different people. The other 9 were like, oh, yeah. That makes sense. And you were like, bleep, whatever. Like, okay.
So it forces me to stay calm. And
I'm sorry.
I mean, if you're going through something at home and then you're mad, I mean, you weren't. Like, you weren't, like, empathetic or anything. Like, yeah, look, I get it. You got something going on. But, yeah, man, nobody cares. Like, come on. Like, can you say it a different way, General Patton?
Not what I said at all, but yes.
You got to be able to say it a different way. No. So, anyways, I appreciate that. So, how do I segue this over to what is going on in Renton at the Virginia Mason Athletic Center?
Everybody can change.
Jeez, okay.
All of us are talking about what this rookie class is going to be like coming up. And here's the truth. We won't know for another 2 to 3 years. And the success of the Seahawks this year currently will be on the backs of the guys that the Seahawks just drafted and or traded for or brought in over the last 2 to 3 years. This season, right here, will Kenneth Walker III rush for over 1,000 yards? It's important. Because if he doesn't, the Seahawks are in trouble, right? Will Tariq Woolen be great on year 3? If he doesn't, well, considering how they drafted, that's another story in itself. I'll get to that in a second. But what I'm saying is, and Brock, you can speak to this. What's going to happen this year is predicated on those players on year 2, year 3, especially with the quarterback. Will Geno Smith be the guy that he was paid to be a couple years ago? That's a question. I really legitimately believe, even though I don't know if you guys have been talking about it, it's a real quarterback competition over there in
Renton.
You think
it is? You think there's a real So when they go out for minicamp, not rookie minicamp, but real minicamp, and they have 10 reps, how many of them go to Geno? Out of every 10 reps, how many go to Geno?
Well, he's going to get love at first. So in probably in front of us and in front of everyone, right, when it's open to the media, he's probably going to get, the majority.
Eight or nine of those reps. What about once the media walks away?
I think that's going to be a different story. And also, I think they're going to see, like, you're going to get legitimate reps when they're going with the twos. And sometimes the one quarterback might go with the twos, and the two quarterback might go with the ones. I think that Sam Howell, if you guys go and look at it, one of the things, KJ put me on Sam Howell last year when they were getting ready to come and play against the Seahawks. He was like, yo, this quarterback is good, right? Now, never knew that he was going to be a Seahawk, but legitimately, he is a good quarterback.
So when you say that about the competition behind the scenes, so that we won't necessarily see it, that in front of the media, it will look like business as usual. Geno Smith gets his 8-9 reps, right, like any starter would, and Sam Howell kind of plays the backup role. But then behind the scenes, according to what you think is going to happen, it'll be a lot closer to 50-50, a real competition. How similar or different is that from how it was last year with Drew Lock?
I don't think there's really that much of a difference.
So you think it was like that last year?
Yeah, I think it's always kind of like that. I think we don't really know what goes on behind the scenes.
You think it was like that during Russ's years?
Absolutely not.
Oh, okay. Well, so then it's not always like that.
No.
It's always been like that with Geno.
Absolutely not. Now, again, going into the season, the talk, the conversation, and matter of fact, somebody's going to say to me, oh, that G dude doesn't know what he's talking about. Let me tell y'all something. I'm not going to come in on the topic and just make up something. I just know what the feeling is amongst people, current players, right? Like, there's a real legitimate conversation to be had about, hey, we're going to see going into this year. I think every single player coming into this year needs to be on their game. There is no, it's the NFL, everybody. It's a business. This ain't junior football. This ain't, well, so-and-so started last year, so he needs to start this year. Look, Mike McDonald is coming in here, and he has a job to do. He don't care about feelings. He don't care about what happened this year or what happened last year. It's going to be the best players that are going to be on the field, which now you want to start addressing and talking about. Look at how they drafted. You notice they didn't touch the wide receiver room, because I believe the wide receiver room is the strongest unit on the team right now. That is the unit that, whoa, on the national level is like, yo, those three, ooh, really good. But did they address the corner position? Absolutely. Brock, help me out. Mm-hmm. How normal is it to take two corners from the same team to address the corner position?
Yeah, not normal. Nope, not normal at all. I want to rewind back to your first point, and then we'll play some sound when it comes to the second point with that QB, and then maybe we can land on the third one there with this draft.
And then I got a lot of people texting in with questions about what G's wearing. No. 206 says, "Gee, you look like a sale rack at Macy's right now. Sorry, bro, just too much going on."
Well, come on, man. Wait. Don't give me Macy's. Macy's going out of business.
That's what
it's saying.
Well, that's why they have the sale rack.
Yeah, boy, it looks G like what ain't you're going wearing. Out of business.
No.
All right, what do you got, bro?
To your point about the draft picks, remember what history taught us. What was the Seahawks record in 2010?
7-9.
What was the record in 2011? 7-9. And then 2012, boom, with the addition of Bobby and Russ and Bruce and an infusion of a really uniquely talented class, they took a step. But they took that step because in 10 and 11, the Earls, the Okungs, the Cams, the Shermans, the KJs, they got all that season and going 7-9, 7-9, right? This group has gone 9-8, 8-9, 9-8, 8-9. And you've gotten a lot of seasoning from Cross and Lucas and K-9 and Woolen, and you go through it. And I've said that to Salk a bunch. Like, if this team's going to hit, it's going to be obviously a new set of eyes, this new regime that's going to be working with them. But those players got to do what they did then, and that's go from good to great. Can some of these guys, in your estimation, can they go from good to great? Can Charles Cross go from a very good Boye Mafe, a good K-9, a good, to what Sherman and Cam and Earl and those guys went to? Have you seen enough that they can take that step from good to great?
I don't know. And I'll tell you why I don't know. Because the majority of what we see out of players, we don't get to see that. The coaches don't get to see that. Everybody in the media doesn't get to see that. And what am I talking about? I don't know whether this player goes to Vegas a lot of times on their off time. I don't know what this player does in the offseason. I don't know if they're drinking alcohol. I don't know if they're keeping their body right. I don't know. I know this. I know that when the end of July and August comes, I know when I see those little hamstrings or little mini pulls and things like that, you kind of get to those things.
Nothing,
you wonder about
nothing
dehydration.
Wrong with the occasional hamstring pull or anything. I mean, we can certainly have some sympathy there.
No, yeah, my bad.
But we don't know how Salk's been self-medicating either. I mean, that's fair.
What Salk's been doing.
But Brock, go ahead. Look, I'm gonna throw this to you. Like, these are the things that don't get talked about. These are the things that you cannot measure. So I know someone's listening and saying, "Gee, did you really talk about guys going to Vegas?" Yeah.
Yeah.
I am talking about that. I am talking about the Brandon Mebanes of the world who went to Vegas one time and thought, my career is not going to last if I keep going to Las Vegas during the offseason.
You know who else was talking about this about a month ago, two weeks ago?
Who?
Cam Newton. Cam Newton was like, that crew, those dudes were different. They didn't. They were killers. Like, their profession and their job, and they didn't like you, and they didn't play around, and they weren't like, oh, yeah, let's all go hang out. No, they wanted to just destroy you. Because their livelihoods were not important to them. Now, maybe some of them got a little crazy, G. You know, maybe some of them wore a king's crown and at their wedding, and some of them got a lot of money, and it got a little different and got a little crazy. But initially, in 10, 11, 12, 13, when those dudes went from good to great, there was nothing more important in their lives than them being the Legion of Boom and being different.
But by all means, when guys decide to skip voluntary stuff, let's say it's totally fine.
Yeah, it doesn't mean anything.
Doesn't mean anything. It's all just anything. Totally fine. Yeah, and that's probably, of all the things in the world that the three of us might agree on, that might be the biggest one. Like, hey, man, If they're telling you it's voluntary, show up, because if it doesn't mean that much to you, your team's never really going to go anywhere. And I think that is another, that's a great question, Brock, about kind of going good to great. We got another great question from Isaac in Everett, who says, who invited the Pacific Northwest Tiger King to the show today?
But first of all, I don't know if y'all know this or not. One of the decisions behind wearing my sunglasses today was the biggest topic that has been going on in the Pacific Northwest. It is the new Bigfoot, right? There's a zebra on the loose. You feel me?
Yeah.
And so I wore these glasses thinking, this is a zebra-inspired kind of look.
Yeah, it's kind of got a lot of black and white to it.
Right,
yeah.
which that's a good thing, right?
For a zebra.
Diversity.
Yeah.
So when I decided to put these glasses on, I was thinking a zebra. By the way,
what's up with the zebra? How did it get here? Well, there were a bunch of them, right? Like four or five zebras.
It was four of them.
Four zebras.
It was four zebras, and three of them got wrangled together.
Right.
One of them was like, because they was getting ready to go to Montana, right?
For what? Like to a zoo?
Yeah, it was going to Montana.
Circus.
And I think the one zebra was like, nah, I'm not going to Montana. You been to Montana? I like the.
I saw that elephant that got loose in Montana. How do you think that ended?
You know what I'm saying? Those grizzly bears in Montana.
By the way, come to find out, just so you know, we want to make sure we get the pronouns right. It is a she.
Oh, the zebra is
a she. The zebra is a she.
Uh-huh.
So make sure. So I know you get like, oh, he, no. She
That's
is
the
out
pronoun
there on
the
loose.
Zebra chose.
Absolute. No. The owner let us know that it was a she.
Jeez. Do you know there's a lot of consternation in the building? Mm. Because that camera, that field camera that caught the image of it, is a friend of somebody's in the building.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I found out. Can I tell who it is?
Yeah.
No.
That's
no.
secret?
That person
no,
has no
secret.
Interest in being known.
Yes.
Oh, really?
No, does not want any of that stuff out there. Uh-uh. Yeah. No.
Cares.
Now, if the zebra was brown, would they want their?
Oh, come on!
If it was the zebra was brown, it would be a horse.
Oh, okay.
I think that's pretty, like a brown zebra is just a horse, right?
So they can't wrangle this thing.
Technically,
she's Rambo. She's up in the hills like Rambo was in First Blood.
She's putting on
the North Bend
on face paint.
In all fairness, even if the zebra was brown and the brown zebra claimed to be a zebra, you can't argue that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Somebody in Spokane told me that a few years ago.
Identifying as a zebra.
I love the Pacific Northwest Tiger King.
I saw Tiger Summit.
All right, let me ask you this, G.
Somebody. I've been doing this 20 years, never even been.
Matt in Oregon says G looks like he must be having problems at home. I want you to know, Matt, everything at the house is really good right now.
Good to hear.
It's really good.
So the NBA is going to come back pretty soon, right? I mean, the NBA media rights deal is about to get done.
Uh-huh.
And we've always heard for a while now, once the media rights deal gets done, the next thing is that Seattle and Vegas are getting their expansion teams. That'll be the next thing to be announced. And I don't have a date for you or anything, but that should happen sooner rather than later. How do you feel about it after all these years?
I can't wait. It felt good seeing you post a tweet or on X, whatever you call it. Go back to the name Twitter. But you posted something. I said, wow, did I just see Mike Salk post something about NBA on there? That felt good. I think all of us will agree that basketball back here in Washington, in Seattle, needs to happen like yesterday. That's one. Two, how do I feel? Let's go back. If you're listening right now, do you guys remember? You guys remember what it used to be like? The action, all the stuff going on. Maybe
I don't. I moved here the year after the Sonics left.
Oh, it was magic, pandemonium going on right there. So you get to see all the players coming in town. The nightlife was good, all that. So I'm super excited about it. And you know what? You know the best thing I'm excited about? I got a little money in my pocket to afford some tickets.
I don't know. Those tickets are going to be pricey when they first come back. That
yes,
is for sure
are.
After all this time. So you'll be psyched. You'll want to go. You're going to be right back into it.
Are you going to go?
I mean, I'm torn on this one, and it was an interesting poll result. Did you see the poll yesterday,
60%,
Brock?
60%
said, couldn't be more excited. Can't
Overjoyed.
Wait. Get it back. I'll be there the moment I can. And then after that, it was like, you know,
20%,
a little split.
I'm done.
20%
I'm
done. Are like, I don't like the NBA anymore. I don't like the product. Another like 5% said, I'm still mad about it. So let's say 25% were in the no chance. And then the remaining group was like, yeah, if it's good, I'll be there. Right. Kind of you're going to have to woo me a little bit. Right. Like if it's good, I'm there. If it's not good, I've got other things. So sort of, you know, whatever.
Now I'm.
But call it 60-25. That's a pretty solid, like, hey, we need this thing back and we're sucked.
I'm gonna keep it a buck with y'all though. Now I don't wanna sit here and just for the sake of the conversation be like, oh my God, I can't wait. I can't wait for the NBA to come for a little bit of different reasons that I used to love the NBA. One, I want the NBA to come here because, A, I know what that's going to mean to the local economy, mm-hmm. right? I know what that's going to mean for all of us with different things to do. I know what it's going to mean for the young kids to have an opportunity to see some of their favorite NBA players. Okay? I'll put that to the side. Yo, NBA games for me, trash. Trash. Ain't nobody playing defense. Nobody playing defense. You're just chucking up threes every single time. I will watch a women's game before I watch a WNBA game. Before I watch an NBA game. As a matter of fact, I'm super, super, super excited about the WNBA and the Storm. Yeah. I know you're going to some games. Everybody, a lot of y'all going to some games. I was watching Caitlin Clark travel through the airport yesterday. And if you know, they don't get charter planes unless it's back-to-back. So they had Caitlin Clark just walking through the airport regular.
Just through, like, the Indy
you
airport?
Know, you know what I'm saying? So now they're going to have to—
like Brock Hewitt or something
like
there?
She's Brock Hewitt.
Sitting 18E? What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Like, you need to head to your boarding gate. So they had, like, everybody kind of crowding around her, a little buffer and everything. Yeah. So I'm looking forward
cheaper
to
cheaper to hire security than to hire a private plane. Right? Cheaper to hire security and get him an extra ticket than it is to hire a private
AG.
Plane.
Yes, sir. AG, question for you.
What do you got?
Someone you know, former Sonic dancer. Who was a former Sonic dancer in the Heward circle? Who had a lot of good tickets to Sonics games because his wife was a Sonics dancer.
She sure was.
Yes, Julie was.
Yes, she was. I like. Hey, Julie, how's Julie doing these days?
Good.
Yeah, Julie's solid, man. Yep, good people right there. All the whole Heward family. Yep. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Hey, did you follow me back on Twitter, bro? You can't be having me out.
I can't multitask. I cannot multitask the segment
Sam
ends.
I heard Sam's coming back to UW. Is that true?
Yeah, that's not true.
I heard that, though. I saw it on Twitter.
Yep, that'd be news to the Heward family. That's
make sure we all know what's going on.
Now you know what Brock asked me.
What?
No, G. That was a private conversation.
Okay? What did he ask you?
We've taken steps, maybe in the weeks ahead.
If we could be back good friends again.
That's so nice. Yeah. Honestly, of all the things that could have happened today, I was not expecting that. Yeah. I knew you guys talked the other day on the phone. I was aware of that, but I didn't know that was like the impetus for the whole thing.
By the way, Brock answers calls all the time.
Mm-hmm. That's not
unlike
true.
You. Mm-hmm. I called Salk on his birthday. Now,
hold on.
Any of you guys got friends that still sleep at 10 a.m.? Who? Which
on my birthday
do you know
me.
That sleep at 10 a.m.?
Adults that have to wake up at 4:30 throughout the week and are tired on the weekends.
What are you doing, Brock? I know you don't wake up at 10 a.m., Sam.
I was out drinking the night before. No. I was sleeping a little bit the next morning. Like, I'm not answering your call while I'm lying in bed.
You know what? Hairy backs must make you sleep well, huh?
Yeah. Although, you know what? Hairless now, I slept just fine last night. Yeah.
Last thing, G, last minute. You're going to head over to Rookie Minicamp this weekend?
I am.
What do you think you're going to see? What do you think, Mike McDonald? What's the vibe over there? I know, you got your feelings over there. We've been texting about it. Mm-hmm. Mike is not Pete. There's going to be, he said it himself. You know, this all work in progress, all the expectations and eyes on him.
Yeah.
As you're around there this weekend, what do you expect to see from this whole new regime?
Have you ever gone to some of your friends' house after they got a divorce? I'm being serious, y'all. If you're listening right now, do you got that one friend or that family member, the first time you've been over, like, and you're on your way over, you're like, hey, we haven't been over since the breakup. And, I just wonder how they're doing, and I'm looking forward to it. And so what are they cooking, and what are we going to bring? And so you don't know. So you don't know what the house is going to be like. You don't know what the new vibe is going to be like. You hear all the great things about the new husband, right? They're there, right? So today, when I get ready to go over, I don't have any expectations, Brock.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm going to be driving, talking to myself.
Eyes wide open.
What am I going
to
bring?
His eyes are going to have to be open. It's hard to see through those sunglasses. Are you going to wear all of that getup to the practice today?
Yeah.
The whole thing? The sunglasses inside? What if they're in the indoor facility?
Yeah. You know who I'm looking forward to seeing? He doesn't like for me to say his name.
No.
Dave P.
Oh, really?
He doesn't like me to say his name. But I'm looking forward to seeing
him.
Are
you
going to
give him a hug? Do you give him hugs when you see him?
You know what, man? Dave.
Because you're a good hugger. There's something that all three of us have in common.
You know, in my media career, I have just really wanted to be liked by Dave.
Yeah. Good luck
and
with
I
that.
Think, I think
if you succeed in that, you'll be the first.
I think this is the year that Dave
probably.
I'm going to go in for a hug today.
You should go in for a hug.
Let us know how that goes, please.
Dave will fight back, man.
Do you think, okay, what do you guys
think? Do I think you can get a hug from Dave?
Yeah.
No.
Brock?
Yeah, but it will be awkward. It'll be really awkward.
I think it will. If you get that hug, it will come with so much grief, trash talk, and like significant insult that afterwards you will never do it again. He will make sure it's the last
patronizing hug.
Hey, so look, so the next time I see you here, we need to talk about that hug. I mean, that hug, so we need to talk about
that. Go away. You're going to get us in trouble. Right, G's show starts shortly over on our
show?
Huh? Yeah, G has his own show with Ursula. It's over on the other station, 97.3 Cairo News Radio. They start just after 9 o'clock. We'll be right back with some buying and some selling. It's next on Brock and Saul.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.